Welcome to Windows into Eternity with Almeen. This hour you will receive powerful revelations of a world where mystery and miracles are commonplace. Here's your host, Almeen.
Hello, my name is Almeen, and this is our hour that we get to spend together. I wanted to talk with you about the archetypes of the goddesses, because I've had quite a few questions come in about that from our listeners. And so I wanted to look at the various goddess archetypes. They are asking whether these goddess archetypes are still valid, because massive transformations have happened in the cosmos and in the way that things are from linear to inclusive, in that we used to have polarity, we used to have duality. The end of duality and polarity, which I've explained in quite a few of our previous shows, came in February of 2008. So does this mean that the divisions of the feminine psyche or the masculine psyche, which are the archetypes of the gods, have changed? Those are the questions that were asked. So let's take a look at Panatura, which is the first goddess that we discussed as goddess number one, and you can find this in Secrets of the Hidden Realms as well as in A Life of Miracles. The archetype of Panatura deals with manifestation. It deals with bringing about with conscious intent your environment rather than living haphazardly, nevertheless being a creator of your environment, but creating it really by default without the power of intent behind it. The realm of manifestation, my brothers and sisters, all that has changed there is the way manifestation is done. You see, before this, the etheric realms held the blueprint of matter. It is the place that we called the spirit that dwells within all things. It's that realm, the higher self, that Native Americans have prayed to for eons of existence, the spirit that moves through all things, the place where the blueprints of life have been kept. Now, previously, we had a situation where same frequencies attracted one another. Same frequencies attracting meant that for anything to pull its blueprint through or to be created here, the blueprint had to have something of similar frequency it was attracted to. In other words, let's say this in more common terms, the manifestation happened by providing a song on this side of the division between the etheric and the physical worlds that is a strong enough song that it would pull through the part that we know as the frequency part of the blueprint. The song would attract its similar song. In August of 2006, opposite frequencies started attracting. So suddenly, this no longer was the way to manifest. And so, my brothers and sisters, the actual way of manifestation has changed. But for eons, this was the case. However, the aspect of manifestation isn't any different. So absolutely, this aspect of the feminine, that which creates, is very much alive and well. So the goddess name might have changed, the way it happens, but the archetype for manifestation is still the first archetype. The second thing that we have about manifestation is that Mother has made it more prominent than it was before. Because before, the Mother of all life and the Father gave us the instructions that life's purpose was to turn the unknown into the known through our experience. In other words, we were intent on solving the illusion. We did it. In August of 2006, it was complete. Now we have a whole new assignment. Create through the heart. Exploring unknown ways in which this creation can take place, but creating through the heart. How do we now create? Well, it's very interesting. Love, praise, and gratitude are attitudes that when we send out, it actually gathers to us the building blocks of existence so that we can then form through holding a vision, sending love, praise, and gratitude out that such a vision is possible to be achieved. Such a vision then will manifest. We are working with opposites, but not opposite as in dark and light or in our harmony and harmony. We're working instead with that which is stationary and receptive, namely the building blocks of life, and that which is proactive and of similar composition, which is an attitude, and that attitude is the attitude of love and of praise and of gratitude, three attitudes. An attitude has both a light component and a frequency component. So as we send it out, we end up pulling in the building blocks. As we hold the vision with our pineal gland, with our third eye, like a little projector broadcasting its picture onto a screen, it creates our circumstances. So this is now how it happens. And the archetype is a feminine archetype. That's why the cosmos has so much feminine in it, because of the fact that it wants to procreate itself. So this is part of the goddess archetype. Men often say to me, but why do we have to know this? Everything that is within man. That's why they're so special. And it is within us that we can create all things, because we have been made as co-creators with the infinite. Some of our star beings are amazed at that we are still able to create illusionary images in our world. They are amazed, because nowhere else is it even possible. But man has that strong of an ability to create that if he expects things like wars, we are still somehow keeping them alive. So the second feminine archetype is Amaterasu. And Amaterasu is keeper of her story. And Ama is mother, and Terra is earth, and Su is story. So it's the earth's history that Amaterasu keeps. Within the physical, etheric, and emotional bodies of man that we had, they were around our body, as I've depicted in many of the books. They recently collapsed into a field within the body. But it was in the etheric, and of course these fields are layered in that they are still in their different components, but they're unified. It was in the etheric body and some in the mental and emotional and very little in the higher bodies that past karma was kept. And what it looked like, if you look at karma in somebody's bodies previously, it was a constriction in the flow of universal energy. When there's constriction in the flow of universal energy, what we end up having is something that must be resolved. So it pulls to its situations that will allow the constriction to open up and flow. It pulls to us situations that will bring the perception and the heart perception necessary for that to occur. Now, my brothers and sisters, if this information that's held as karma within us, as distortion, is stored and the insights are gained, it manifests as light. And so it actually makes those bodies stronger. It is very, very important for the proper flow of energy that the stories are kept, because there's no need for us to reinvent the wheel. You know, the numerous humans within the inner earth have formed the etheric body of the earth. The bodies within us have blended. This is why the humans from the inner earth are now coming out. There's a delegation of 300 on their way as we speak, because the humans on the surface of the earth are the physical body, and you can see that being merged, it is time for the inner earth to open up and share their wisdom and their insight with the outer earth, and vice versa. So the tradition of sharing the stories of our lives from generation to generation is part of what this archetype is about. And it engenders a sense of belonging to a larger history than just our individual lives, and puts our roles into the perspective of the whole. Multigenerationally, it helps bring life to the earth. Many secret stone libraries around the earth have kept the histories of civilizations long gone. The sacred libraries of the earth have kept cosmic history, and that is now open to us. There's 129 sacred libraries that have opened in the early months of 2008. So there's another part that this goddess encourages. I've asked Mother why I should keep books that portions of them are obsolete, and especially, and she has said, those stories have value. They were reality. I've removed the real part. So think of them as stories. But they have tremendous value, because everything we've learned is what prepares us for tomorrow. And that is another important thing that I wish to share with you, that this goddess promotes, this archetype promotes. How can others be inspired by your story unless you keep a journal, unless you keep some sort of a library? Excuse me. And so the library that you keep of your own might just be a diary. But, you know, history hasn't stopped. We're still creating it. Let us, therefore, keep a record of our own, unraveling insights of memories of our own lives. With a journal helps our own energy flow, restoring physical health and emotional well-being. Since these libraries have opened in the many different countries, Cyprus, Ceylon, Egypt, Nigeria, I mean, Easter Island, Australia, all over the world, you will see a tremendous boost in the energy level of nature. Nature will recover itself much better from the abuse that it has taken from us in the past, because it brings energy when information is available and known by some, and then the lines of energy, which have become fields in recent months, become stronger. So the Earth's fields become stronger when we remember her sacred histories. We are the middle point of the cosmos. It's here where the Holy Mother and Father reside. We read in the secrets of the unicorns, or the gift of the unicorns in the history of the cycle, we read that in fact it is the Earth that is the cradle of civilization when we peel back history eons of time, when we remember the history of the cosmos itself is strengthened and enhanced. Very much a pertinent part of life. Let us take a look at the third goddess archetype, Kalima. Relationships can still push our buttons. Planet Earth has great diversity in the levels of consciousness among its inhabitants. Great masters are birthed in the midst of illusion. Way showers and light promoters have traditionally been born into dysfunctional homes because up until August of 2006, opposite matter and energy attracted one another. And this seeming discrepancy in awareness has caused a lot of pain to the more enlightened. But the goddess Kalima's archetype decrees that for every obstacle, there must be a blessing. The obvious blessing is the insight hardship provides, such as the strength and the patience and self-reliance that are cultivated when light beings recognize that their source of strength is within, rather than from their fellow man. But you see, growth through opposition has now made way, my brothers and sisters, for growth through support. And so, the more our perception, the more our support must come, not from others, from our own being, which will pull in the circumstances of our lives. It will pull in those that will support us, or those resources we need. If we hold the vision and trust that our being is our sustenance. But the Earth has a pivotal role in the ascension of material life within the cosmos into higher realms. And for this role to be properly fulfilled, the most dynamic growth needs to take place here. And we've had a situation where movement in growth is the most rapid and pronounced where the poles are furthest apart. That is why we've had such a discrepancy in people. The darkest of the dark in the past, now there isn't the darkest of the dark left. But there are still among us some soulless ones that whose roles are kept in place by our belief in them. So we have got a variance in enlightenment among beings. Not as huge as it used to be, because we needed that momentum to break free from cycle upon cycle of going round and round on the merry-go-round, and finally we made it free. But there still is a difference. And there always is compensation. Where relationship is concerned, the greater the diversity in perception, the greater the discomfort. For the enlightened, seeing or experience others acting in an unconscious way that damages other life forms is very painful. For the unenlightened, being in the presence of purity and light flushes up their suppressed pain, and if resisted, results in chaos. Customarily, they've attacked the source of their discomfort rather than change. So this situation created a situation where light workers were in so much pain because of the density they found themselves in that they couldn't properly lift us up and help shine their light. And so the dissension went deeper than we thought it would. However, this has changed. Now opposite energy and matter no longer attract, and we finally have the opportunity to be among those who are like us, who support us just through living their highest truth. My brothers and sisters, in the very large picture, it's come full circle. It is time now for those of the greatest light to flourish the most. Not those with the highest endurance because they are unconscious. So this compensation is about to fully come to fruition. The gifts that are poured among those of light right now are extraordinary. They are starting as the subtle gifts. In my classes, we just had a class where out of 25, there were 20 new people who by the end of the week all were receiving tremendous spiritual languages, written languages, visions. If we are grateful for the more etheric gifts, the physical will follow suit. The law of compensation has come full circle. Let's take a quick commercial break and we will be back.
The brand new book, The Gift of the Unicorns, is now available from Al Mean. The magical book answers the question, do mystical creatures like the winged horse Pegasus, mermaids, and giants truly exist? What is their roles, and how can they be called upon for assistance? In their own words, the unicorns reveal where they went during the ages of darkness, their heroism in preserving purity and innocence, their golden shoes, and the secret mission they undertook for the mother of all creation. To receive your copy of this amazing book of sacred secrets, The Gift of the Unicorns, go to www.spiritualjourneys.com or call 502-499-0016 today. After 3 months of intense physical preparation in January 2004, Al Mean experienced a transfiguration, entering the presence of the infinite for the second time since moving into God consciousness. The state of no longer identifying with the ego in 2000. In the weeks that followed, the powerful revelations contained in this book emerged from that all-encompassing silence. Having lost most of her linear thinking during this transition, much of this book had been written without conscious thought. This form of automatic writing, like automatic speaking she now does, flows freely from source into her own handwriting from which it was transcribed. Few have entered into God consciousness to leave the bliss to teach. Still fewer enter the stage of immortal master and in addition continue to function among the masses. But as a Toltec Nagual and seer, Helmi's life is dedicated to leading others to complete freedom from mortal boundaries. Journey to the Heart of God is an opportunity of a lifetime to see through the eyes of one who has encountered the indescribable realms of eternity. From such a perspective come insights that can heal the deepest wounds of alienation found in human hearts. Journey to the Heart of God contains, no matter how profound, truth. Truth that can be recognized for what it is, and is the truth that shall set us free. Pick up a copy of The Journey to the Heart of God and discover your personal truth and freedom through Al Mean's books, CDs, workshops, lectures, and magazine by logging on to www.spiritualjourneys.com.
The Oracle. And the role that that plays in our life. It is that which is our constant source of guidance, my brothers and sisters, in interpreting those things that prompt us forward from within. We might have a feeling that we need to go a certain way. That comes from our heart. The master always leads through life with their heart. However, there is something very dramatic that has changed. Previously, our dream state was at a different level. We spoke about, in previous shows, about the fact that the bodies of man have collapsed. They used to be stacked around our physical bodies, much the way that Russian dolls are stacked. In other words, outside of us. They then imploded and they have formed a field comprised of these multiple layers within our bodies. This has changed things very dramatically because you see what happens to man, that most magnificent microcosm, also happens to the cosmos. The cosmos has had its levels of life all come down into one layer. That means the etheric realms have become right here where we are right now in the physical. So we may ask then, why don't we see the fairies or the angels? Because the frequency component of their levels has remained at a higher and different octave. An example of what I'm talking about is this. If they were made of a higher light, that light now is the same as the light we are experiencing in the physical. But beings are electromagnetically made, meaning there's also a magnetic or frequency component. That's the component that makes them vibrate at a faster pace and makes it that we don't see them as well. But the bodies of the cosmos, just like the bodies of man, have collapsed to within inside the body. And so the etheric realms, which is where we used to go in our dream time, is now right here. So what does that mean for those of us who have for years been working with our dream bodies and how to do lucid dreaming and how to get our dream body to move around? My brothers and sisters, that has become obsolete because our dream body is no longer at the higher level. It is right here within us. We don't have an etheric body that could leave. It's within us. So what then do we do with the dream time for a guide? First of all, the practices that we have done to go through the gates of dreaming, I have written them in multiple of my books, they are really no longer as needed because of the following. Your dream body is within you. It can access all things virtually immediately. The cosmos has brought its dream body right around us. We used to walk around in its dream body with our dream body. Its dream body is now where we are. In other words, we don't have to go through all these very scrupulous trainings to be able to walk places, to see places, to access places. You can do it sitting right in your office chair. It just takes a bit of practice. If you want to find something, sit down. Scan it within your inner realms and find where it is. Then you can find it on the outside. But everything is within now. And we spoke on one of our shows of the pearl of great worth being a cluster of cells inside the pineal that has been awakened, that contains the omniscience of the mother, that we can in fact access anything in the silence of our minds and through our hearts. Secondly, on our previous shows, we have discussed the awakening of the Lahun chakra, the 10th chakra that is depicted in Sumerian and Egyptian art as a disc above the head. We said that it contains the cosmic Akashic records. We spoke also about the silver chakra, much smaller than the Lahun chakra, which is called the Brahmish chakra, and it is about 2 inches, the top of it reaches below the base of the spine. It contains the information of the holy and sacred libraries. That too is for you to access. And we have given you the information on the previous shows. You can go through the archives and find them. But this is how you can have all information at your disposal. You no longer have to search for it by walking around with your dream body. Having said that, we cannot waste our dream state, which is a third of our life. It is very important that we set that alarm for half an hour early in the morning and go through meticulously our dreams. If you initially have to write them down, by all means, go ahead. We have given you the interpretations of a lot of the dream symbol. It's in the book, Secrets of the Hidden Realms. It's under the section marked The Realms of the Dreams. We have it in the back of the Ring of Truth. I believe we even added a few there, and you will add a few of your own, because symbols will mean very unique things to you as well. But the information I gave you is based on eons of Toltec study of the dream state. These symbols will speak to you in your dream time and in your environment. Your environment will give you your next step. If you ask a question of the cosmos and then observe, it will also give you those answers. However, what you miss, your dreams will tell you. And what you've overlooked or what you didn't take the time for comes in the dreams. And so that is they go hand in hand with the symbols when you're awake. In this way, the dream state and the awake state work together to produce the clarity of your highest truth to be lived. The archetype of the oracle is extremely available to you right now because of the languages that are coming out. The beings are attempting to contact anyone that lives in integrity. They want to speak to them. Wonderful, wonderful little divic creatures like I have never seen before have been coming out of these sacred libraries where they have resided to stay alive and be well during the ages of dissension, because these libraries, as I've said, are like time capsules. And so they contain races that we thought have become extinct, and they contain little divas that are now yet again amongst us of tremendous power and beauty. So let us go to the next archetype, which is the fifth archetype, which is Ao-Ba-Zi. And this archetype deals with true listening. My brothers and sisters, true listening cannot take place in the presence of a dialogue in the mind. How we get rid of that dialogue is part of the ascension process. It is part of day by day at night, just taking a half an hour to see behind the appearances of your day. See where the ripples of irritation happen. See where thoughts are still lingering about an event. Because that is exactly where your insights have to be gotten. Gather the insights from your life day by day, and you will become purified enough that there is no need for an internal dialogue. The dialogue is by design to hold down memories. It will hold down the memories of what you don't want to look at. And so, as we go through life, this dialogue suppresses more and more. I am terribly sorry. I've been doing quite a few hours of radio, and it's starting to show in my throat. So, my brothers and sisters, the dialogue builds up over a lifetime until eventually we can hardly hear people speak. Listening doesn't come with our ears. Audio, you know, the word audio comes from ancient languages, and of course, Ao-Ba-Ri, and the audio, meaning listening, A-U, Ba stands for body, and Ri stands for light. It says listening body of light. It has to be listened to with the heart, in the total silence of the mind, where you enter into another's perspective, just for the time while he speaks, seeing the world through his eyes, and that is how true listening takes place. It is essential that we do the listening for others because it helps their dreams come true. How does that happen? Well, the secret is in the name Ao-Ba-Ri. We'll look at that when we get back from this commercial break.
A Life of Miracles is a deeply inspiring and motivational book in its content. It is unique in its field in making man's relationship as the microcosm to the macrocosm understandable to both beginning and advanced readers. It's a detailed guide to living a joyous and balanced life that provides a carefully laid out map to achieving the magnificent destiny that beckons at the apex of human experience, that of ascension. If you're ready to ascend to a higher consciousness, begin each day with A Life of Miracles or any of the books, CDs, lectures, workshops, or her magazine by contacting Al Mean at www.spiritualjourneys.com. In this, the fourth book, The Ring of Truth, which chronicles Almeen's journey, she tells of the promise and the potential inherent in the resurgence of the feminine principle, increasingly felt in all aspects of current human experience. The operation of new laws governing the cosmos are explained together with the reasons for their creation. We are introduced to Mother, the primal creative energy that pervades every aspect of existence. We learn of her love and her laws and how to incorporate them into every thought and act. We are given samples of her divine language, its meaning, and its power. Mother's great gift to humanity, the healing power of Belvaspada, is revealed. This new approach to dissolving disease of mind, spirit, and body replaces previously existing methodologies. Application of its techniques removes old barriers of physically oriented existence and opens a broad pathway to a life of joy and fulfillment. Discover Mother and the Ring of Truth, as well as all of Almeen's books, CDs, lectures, workshops, or magazine by logging on to www.spiritualjourneys.com.
Someone speaks, and someone else listens with the heart. The Obari, the body that is a listening body of light, forms. Because the empathic understanding that is sent out from a listener who has silenced the dialogue in their mind and through their heart reaches to the other, creates a screen, if you will, for the images that the other is portraying as they speak to form on. So envision, for the sake of argument, two people sitting in a chair. Halfway between them, a screen will form by the empathic assimilation of one who listens with a silent mind. The speaker, as he speaks of his dreams or his ambitions or what he wishes to accomplish, has a place where this becomes a light body. In other words, a thought form. And with a thought form, was fueled by the emotion of the speaker's heart and the receptivity of the heart of the listener, actually pulls in the building blocks of life for that thought form to manifest. So, the gift of listening to someone with an open heart that and a silent mind is in fact assisting them to bring their dreams into reality. There is Ishanama, which is Ishanama. Ishana is in fact the name of Isis. She was known to her family as Ishana, come from heaven. And Isis was a later name that was given to her by the people of Akkad. And Ma means the mother Isis. Ishanama is that what it means. The gift of communication within the family is what this archetype is about. You will note that these archetypes deal with inner things, inner changes, inner attributes. And males and females have them. They're not particular just to women. So, my brothers and sisters, what we have now is a family that is within. We have the inner nurturer. We have the inner child. We have the inner wise one or elder. We have the inner warrior. Then we have the inner high mind, if you will, the priest or priestess, the inner wild man or wild woman, the instinctual self. That is, in essence, the family. And Ishana Ma's external, that is done both by single fathers and fathers and mothers jointly, is to beautify and create grace in the home. It has to do with elegant living. Elegant living doesn't take riches. Living in a tent in nature is elegant. But living in a small house in squalor isn't. It is the order of life. It's the beautification. It's the going the extra mile to bring grace to things. In other words, a meal is not just something to stuff in your stomach. It is made with thought. It is made with love. And it is also produced and presented as elegantly as possible. It doesn't require wealth. This is the external way in which this archetype would express. It also works with sexuality and self-respect around sexuality. One's body is like that meal. It must be savored. There is ambiance created. It is in honor of the body. And so what we have within is the communication between the subpersonalities, which is the inner family. When that is done, when the inner child is heard, when we ask the inner child, what does it wish to do today? Where can we fit, even in a busy schedule, a little corner for our child? The nurturer is there all the time. The child is there all the time. They don't go away when they're not the dominant one. Let the child bring play to your workplace. Let the nurturer make sure that you have comfy shoes under your desk, even if you slip the fashionable one on when you leave your desk. But there's a warm blanket, there's a foot warmer, or there's cool, icy drink in your flask. But whatever it is, take your nurturer and your child with you wherever you go. Don't allow life to rush you. Come from a position of knowledge that you have eternity. Compress time by living in the silence of the mind. And that will allow the wise one and the high mind to come out. Take time to study your thoughts and your words. Let the warrior guard against anything that is disempowering. And so, as you do that, you start to realize that you've entered a world of great mastery. And that world is a world of elegance, because it celebrates life. It doesn't just survive. The eighth goddess archetype that we have is Apparatura. Apparatura is the aperture of life. It opens and it closes gates. It is an aperture. It brings closure to cycles that end. It births cycles that start. We have spoken, I believe, in the Ring of Truth, but certainly also in Secrets of the Hidden Realms, of the death song. What the death song means. And the death song means different things now than it used to. And I want to go into that just a little bit. But the death song, in fact, was a frequency that was sung. We've noticed how it's frequency that births the new in the past, because the template was held on the other side in what used to be the etheric realms. Well, death occurred differently. Death then was a reality in that it was a song that called the spirit home. If we lost enough soul force, either through a tremendous trauma and shock, or gradually, the soul force would leave to the other side of the veil into the etheric realm before these realms all compressed and collapsed into one. If enough soul force left, the song that every individual sings with their life became more strong on the other side of the veil than here. And it would call the soul that way instead of calling soul force into physicality. So in other words, the death song was the loss of soul force saying, I have more soul force on this side of the veil than you have there in physicality. And the soul would say, okay, we go to the strongest place. And so the soul would leave. That is the actual definition of the death song. But the death song is different now. And in that, we lose soul force in the form of life force. Life force is part of the building blocks of existence. So we lose our life force. The soul isn't going anywhere. It is staying right here. If we lose enough life force, however, our physical body cannot be sustained. And then the spirit only remains. The body dies. The spirit doesn't leave for anywhere. Our spirits are among us. We are separated by an octave in frequency. So we have now got a situation where we don't need to lose the soul. If we don't oppose life, we also will not lose any soul force, any life force. Because the life force loss is a direct result of opposition to life. Let's take a commercial break and we'll be right back.
Almeen continues the exploration begun in her previous books, A Life of Miracles and Journey to the Heart of God, probing further into the nature and meaning of existence. Secrets of the Hidden Realms introduces her readers to the goddess mysteries as they apply not only to individual human lives, but to the cycles of the cosmos. From this background in the intangible functions of being, Almeen is led into the dimensions of non-humans, interacting with creatures previously known only in myth and folklore, the interrelationships of fairies, dragons, gnomes, unicorns, and other elementals, and their influence on humankind is explained. Vivid accounts of encounters with these beings and others existing as expressions of the widely divergent vibrations illustrate the essential unity of all creation. Journeying from these subtle realms, the reader is shown the ultimate expression of humanity, evolution into God being. Secret of the Hidden Realms can be obtained from Almeen, along with her other books, CDs, workshops, lectures, and magazine by logging on to www.spiritualjourneys.com. The Complete Power Of and the Mystical Key series of radio programs are a part of the Premier CD set. They are available from Almeen at www.spiritualjourneys.com. Request the entire Premier CD series set or the new book, Aruba Farina, The Book of Fairy Magic, by calling 502-499-0016 today.
The death song is more a matter of ritual. Let's say that you have an elderly person die that was a Christian, stalwart, traditionalist in religion. When they die, you may want to sing to them to ease the transition. You may want to sing something like Onward Christian Soldiers. There might be a song that is right for every person that you just want to sing to them. Or you might just want to rock them and gently speak to them about their life, about all the good things that they've done, about the wonder of life, and that life is eternal. It is, in fact, a comforting hospice-type activity. And this is part of the opening and closing of cycles. To create traditions, to create rites of passage, is this goddess archetype's job, and it is one that we need to incorporate in our life for the wholeness that we seek. Now, we did actually miss goddess number 6, which I forgot about, which is Heyuka. And Heyuka, if you know Native American tradition, it deals with the Heyuka or the sacred clown. The Heyuka, for instance, let's take the Heyuka traditions of the Anishinaabe. The Heyuka traditions of the Anishinaabe will have the sacred clown come. And if people are not taking care of their eagle feathers properly, he will go amongst the Native Americans and he will do disrespectful things to their eagle feathers. You know, he'll bend over and pat himself on his bottom with their eagle feathers, but he's trying to teach them by doing the opposite of what should be taught, that this is not a way to treat sacred objects. And so the Heihoka breaks up stagnant patterns. The Heihoka will reverse energy that's going the wrong way. Let us say, for instance, that there is any kind of a tension building in a situation. The Heihoka will come and do the ridiculous and make everyone laugh, releasing the tension that has built up. The various traditions have had this. The jester in the ancient tarot traditions, the monkey in South American Indian traditions, the coyote teachings of the southern tribes of Native Americans, loci in the old Norse traditions. These are all tricksters. And what they're dealing with is this particular goddess's power. And it's the power of reversal. The direction in which our life is moving is determined by our perception. And our perception is kept in place by the position of our assemblage point. And the assemblage point we've spoken about before is a ball of light that determines our reality. What it lights up, that assembles our reality. So to be able to change perception in order to progress, it has to be mobile. We have to cultivate fluidity and flexibility in our lives. Life does not travel in a straight line, and a great deal of fluidity is needed in order to change direction at a moment's notice. Heihokas have a god counterpart named Mithael, and the counterpart orchestrates the key moments that provide for those dramatic changes that require us to be able to spin on a dime to catch the opportunities looming before us. Heihoka helps reverse the flow of awareness in the direction of where there's greater life force and growth. And one of the aces up her sleeve is the element of surprise. I mean, one never knows what the Heihoka is going to do or how the coyote teacher is going to trick his students into learning. So, the element of surprise. The principles underlying this method are not dissimilar to those employed by surrealistic art, you see. What does surrealistic art do? It amuses, it astonishes, it shocks our reason, until our mind lets go its tyranny of control. And the art, and in the goddess's case, its life, can be experienced with the heart. The heart can recognize the real and the true, even where mind cannot conceive it. The more aware we are becoming and the more responsive to this archetype and its intent to trick us into learning, the more it will play with us. The nature of this goddess archetype is to be light-hearted and fun-loving, to lighten the way with laughter. As we become a willing playmate, she will teach and cajole by means of the ridiculous until our life becomes a comedy of errors. But the greatest gift of all she bestows on those she enlightens is the elimination of the number one impediment to growth, my brothers and sisters, self-importance. In not taking ourselves too seriously, in being constantly tricked into our next step, we travel lightly, discarding identity along the way. Since we have seen ourselves as sacred clowns too many times, we discard belief systems, knowing we know nothing for certain, and that today's truth is but tomorrow's folly. Then suddenly, without even realizing, we find we have become a being fluid and wise, one who has surrendered to the dance of life, even if we alone can hear the music. And my brothers and sisters, I will tell you that when others cannot hear our music, they are going to be very critical, because man rejects normally what they cannot control. But we are following our heart, as all true leadership has done. So we have time, perhaps, to look at one more goddess archetype, and that's the goddess archetype we call in Journey to the Heart of God, in the book A Life of Miracles, we call her as Halima. It's where the word Halima comes from as a woman's name. Halima manages supply. She works with supply. But there is a masculine and a feminine part to work with supply. So let's just look at the feminine for now. We can take a look at the masculine another time. Halima advocates wisdom in managing resources to provide for the needs of tomorrow. She doesn't hoard because she knows that cuts off supply. But the subtleties underlying the principles of creating flow and harnessing resources can fill our lives with abundance when understood. It is definitely worthwhile taking a careful look at these laws of supply. So the first law of supply that Halima has for us to have an abundant life is the issue of joy and passion. And anger and protectiveness are gone, my brothers and sisters. They've been replaced by other beautiful emotions. And there is fear and love. Fear has been replaced by trust. Pain and contentment, they too, the pain has completely been replaced. Beautiful emotions are afoot. If your emotions don't flow, neither will your supply. To look at the pure, true emotions in the cosmos, go to the Belvaspata, Belvaspata website, or our page on it, and look at the 12 pairs of pure emotions. Bring them into your life. It is essential that we take time to create the flow of our lives by getting to know our own emotions and desires, and to joyously anticipate and envision their fulfillment. Now, the second one is an issue of obsession halting the flow of supply. When desire, let's say we have acknowledged that we desire $1 million, but it is just a preference. But if our happiness starts to depend on it, desire is no longer just a preference, but has instead become a need. We have entered the realm of obsession, and that cuts off supply. Suddenly, the movement of our lives towards the fulfillment of the goal stops. The harder we push, the further across the horizon it recedes. Desire wants something in the future, but appreciates and enjoys today. Obsession finds it cannot be happy today until its object is fulfilled. Yet perception changes year by year, and what would have pleased us today may not tomorrow. If therefore we continually need what we don't have, we not only cut off our supply, but condemn ourselves to a life of unhappiness. So the third law of abundant flow is gratitude. What we empower what we focus on. If we focus on lack, our lack increases. If we focus our gratitude on what we have, that increases too. It's a simple but very powerful tool, and even in the depths of despair, finding one thing to be grateful for can change the direction of our lives. Saving, becoming hoarding, is another problematic area. Because saving is fine if it looks at areas of our lives that we need to prepare for the unforeseeable, and makes preparations, and then focuses with gratitude on the present. But when we hoard out of fear, that's another place where it's cut off. And the last one, when we take more than we need. My brothers and sisters, when we do that, we actually deplete not only ourselves, but our environment. Thank you for being with me this hour. Hope we can be together soon.
A Life in Miracles is a deeply inspiring and motivational book in its content. It is unique in its field in making man's relationship as the microcosm to the macrocosm understandable to both beginning and advanced readers. It's a detailed guide to living a joyous and balanced life that provides a carefully laid out map to achieving the magnificent destiny that beckons at the apex of human experience, that of ascension. If you're ready to ascend to a higher consciousness, begin each day with A Life of Miracles or any other books, CDs, lectures, workshops, or her magazine by contacting Al Mean at www.spiritualjourneys.com.
We hope you've enjoyed today's show, Windows into Eternity with Al Mean. Please join us again next week.